Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:57 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 11th. Well, as we approach the close, Wall Street is finishing up on the day marginally, having been lower earlier on, and the Nasdaq has sustained its break upwards to new recovery highs. Brazil was down very marginally in here today and appears to be consolidating in the region of this 70,000 area, which is a rather psychological level and is fairly proximate to where the all-time high is in the region of 74,000. In Europe, the majority of indices closed down on the day, but we continue to see that the number of markets that have sustained breaks to new high ground or new recovery highs is continuing to increase. So the Scandinavian markets are certainly leading in that respect, with Sweden, Denmark, Finland all pushing to new highs. The strong performance of Nestlé has also led Switzerland to join that group, and Belgium has also pushed on to new recovery highs. In the Asian region, there are a number of markets that are now testing their recovery highs, and the others all appear to be pushing on towards those highs as well. China remains a bit of a laggard in that regard, but the Hang Seng and the H shares are both looking reasonably sanguine, and the Nikkei was stronger by almost 1% in here today, so it continues to have found support in the region of 10,000, and the upper side or the recovery highs in the region of 11,000, and it continues to push on towards that area. The trend isn't difficult to spot. We continue to see that an increasing number of markets are pushing on to new recovery highs. No globally significant market has broken its progression of higher, or has broken below its 200-day moving average. What the evidence continues to point towards that we've seen a normal medium-term correction within an overall cyclical bull market. And clear downward dynamics would be needed to check momentum, and the February low would need to be taken out to really question the medium-term bullish outlook. And there aren't any markets of global significance that look like they're about to do that just yet. In the precious metal markets, this was another relatively volatile day, although not nearly as volatile as yesterday and the day before, but a very similar trend. In silver, for example, it was down into the 1680s earlier on today, but actually closed closer to 1716. Gold went down and had a look at $1,100 and closed about $8 above it. Platinum traded briefly below 1600 and closed below it, above it, sorry. Palladium went down and had a look at the psychological $450 level and closed above it. So we continue to see that there's a little bit of volatility going on here. But for example, in silver, this looks like, provided the most recent low, which either it was today or yesterday, holds, it looks like a relatively similar sized correction to what we saw at the end of February. And that's really quite positive action. So while precious metals have been under pressure somewhat over the last week or so, they haven't deteriorated to an extent where one would question the medium-term bullish outlook, and the action remains generally positive. And here again, both the progressions of higher reaction lows would need to be taken out to really question the medium-term bullish outlook. And for gold, having got right down to test the 200-day moving average in the region of 1,040, it really would now need to sustain a move below that area to suggest that we don't remain within this cyclical bullish phase within the secular bull market for the precious metals. In the government bond sector, treasuries were relatively quiet here today. Gilts were weaker by about two-thirds of a point, and the Australian bonds were I don't believe it's too. I don't believe it's an exaggeration to say they were considerably weaker today. And when I look at that yield, it's currently at 5.65%, and it has a generally upward bias, and it's been consolidating in this region since June. It does look like it's only going to be a matter of time before we see a sustained move or a breakout above the sort of 5.8% level. And the downward dynamic on the price would really need to be taken out in no uncertain terms, and a push back above sort of 94.5 on the price terms would be needed to question scope for Australian 10 years to push that bit lower in here. And it's this is a clear indication that we know where the risk of inflation is in this environment. There are still deflationary pressures in the US and much of Europe and indeed the UK, but other economies are feeling the inflationary pressures a bit more. And Australia has already moved onto the path of tightening and has raised interest rates on a number of occasions already. They are still at really historically very low levels, but we know which way the trajectory is pointing, and it does now appear to be only a matter of time before we see higher yields on those on those Australian bonds. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, the industrial metals were relatively steady in here. Copper was up a bit, nickel was down a bit, so was zinc. But again, this is another area where we have the progression of higher reaction lows and a little bit of a short-term overbought condition being unwound. But nothing has happened to really question the medium-term bullish outlook, and this remains generally positive action. In the grains and beans complex, soybeans were weaker by about 27 cents today, and the general tone remains weak in the sector. And whereas in the fertilizer companies we see that we have this rounding characteristic, and some of them, particularly Agrium, are looking like they can push higher, the grains themselves have experienced some technical deterioration within their ranges. They're coming back down towards the lower side of their ranges, and they really do need upward dynamics to signal that demand is returning in any kind of significant numbers. When we look at the wider food markets, some of the producers, such as Nestlé and Unilever, and indeed right across the sector, both in Europe or the US or indeed Asia, we continue to see that there is amazing commonality in the food sector. And the fertilizers have been I suppose, if you could employ the energy sector's parlance, the fertilizers are upstream, and the food companies such as Nestlé are downstream to a certain extent, and the downstream companies are doing considerably better. They're leading markets higher wherever they are present, and indeed in Switzerland, where Nestlé is 25% of the market, are perhaps even higher than that. It's been responsible for pushing the market on to new recovery highs. So the agricultural sector and the food sector generally is remains on a growth trajectory, and if we were to see towards the latter half of the year any kind of weather problems, and with in that regard, I heartily recommend the Browning letter that appeared in today's comment of the day. If we do see any kind of weather-related incidents in some of the agricultural sector, then the food sector generally is likely to return to the fore in terms of investor sentiment really very quickly. So it is one that is worth keeping an eye on. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.